I'll call us to order. This is the Legislative Budget Office Oversight Commission meeting on September 4th, 2018. And welcome, everybody. I'm not sure if we're going, if we've got a confirmation from Senator Cohen, and I don't believe Senator Representative Knobloch will be here. So,
Mr. Chair, it was my understanding that Senator Cohen would not be in attendance today, okay. But unless that's changed in the last couple hours, that's my expectation.
Okay. Thank you. Why don't we start off with an approval of the minutes from the July 12th meeting? Somebody would like to? Representative Carlson moves the minutes. Any discussions? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are adopted as submitted. We only have one thing on our agenda today, but it's a very important thing. It's consideration of the appointment of the Legislative Budget Office Director. She isn't with us right now. I thought we would open the meeting first and see if anybody has any questions or process issues that they would like to discuss. And if not, I think Mr. Hubinger will go and invite her to join us. So are there any questions? Representative Carlson.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I'm curious as to I know the goal was to narrow it down to one that would be here before us today, but how many people applied and how many were interviewed?
Mr. Hubinger, maybe you could come to the podium, please.
I'm not asking necessarily who applied or who was interviewed, but just the numbers.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Greg Hubinger with the Legislative Coordinating Commission. Representative Carlson, we received applications from 69 individuals. The search committee met and reviewed all of those resumes and invited the seven most qualified people to come in for interviews. During the process of conducting those seven interviews, three individuals withdrew, two got other jobs, and one withdrew for personal reasons. So the search committee interviewed four candidates and forwarded the most qualified candidate to the subgroup. The subgroup interviewed that individual and is recommending that they be appointed.
So, Mr. Chairman, in other words, a variety of things reduced the number to a final four that were interviewed, and then we have the one before us. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions before we invite Ms. Weber? Okay. Seeing none, Mr. Hubinger, if somebody would want to have her come. And in the meantime, I think everybody here has been given the questions that were asked at our task group. So you can see the questions that were asked, and obviously we can open it up when she gets here. I'll have her do an introduction and maybe briefly go over her resume or whatever and explain where she's coming from, and then we can open it up for any member questions that they would have.
Mr. Chair.
Senator.
I think that would be, just want the, if you would just give the names of the committee that, so that, especially since Senator Cohen is not here, who was part of that for, so that folks would know that he was present and had a lot of time with us.
Right. So, yeah, we had a working task group of myself, Representative Kadish Pudin, Senator Kiffmeyer, and Senator Cohen. And I believe we must have asked about 14 questions or so and had a good discussion. So it was a very thorough meeting. And after everybody left, the four of us sat there and discussed and came up with a unanimous recommendation as a result of that discussion after having done the question and answer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
More silence here than I've heard at this room. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you.
This is kind of being like at a big dinner table with one person is down at the end, and I know it was a little more quaint in the other one, but we got sick of the squeaking chairs and the PA system that didn't work well, and we didn't want the Senate to think that we had less honorable facilities, so we moved it to a hearing room with better chairs and a little better sound system. Anyway, thank you for joining us, Ms. Weber, and maybe if you could just start off, and you know, when we did our interview with the work group, just kind of go over a little bit about yourself, your resume, and so forth, and then after that, if there are some member questions, we'll entertain them.
Sure, Mr. Chair and members, thank you for having me. I'll be very formal and operate according to the rules. My name is Michelle Weber, and currently I'm at the Department of Human Services. For the last, in November it'll be 25 years, I've worked in state government. I've worked at the Department of Education, the Department of Human Services, as well as Minnesota Management and Budget. And some of my work that uniquely applies to this position from the agency perspective at the Department of Education and at the Department of Human Services, I've worked on the development of proposals for consideration by the legislature, determining what the cost implications of those legislative proposals might be, and also responded to fiscal notes, developing both the data that contributes to the cost analysis as well as the assumptions that would be used. At Minnesota Management and Budget, I served as the Budget Operations Director, overseeing the fiscal note process for the state, working with state agencies and legislative staff on the policies and procedures that would be used to complete fiscal notes. Also, the launch of the development of a new fiscal note tracking system occurred, not the actual implementation and go-live of the system, but the system in its early phases of development was under the work that I did at Minnesota Management and Budget when I served as the Budget Operations Director there. Another highlight in my work with Minnesota Management and Budget was the 2012 Office of the Legislative Auditor report on the fiscal note process, and so I worked to implement improvements as a result of that report from the OLA to the fiscal note process, both at Minnesota Management and Budget and the work that they did to oversee and provide consistency around fiscal notes, as well as with state agencies and with legislative staff.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So you've already been grilled by us, but no, it went very well, and it was a very nice conversation that we had, and I appreciated that. So at this point, you know, our order of business today, of course, is to look at appointing the budget director, the legislative budget director, but any questions? Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, you said interviewed by us, not everyone, so I do have a question or two, Mr.
Chairman. Yes, certainly. That's the point.
I know one of the questions that you asked was, it's number five, and we've had some discussion about this being a nonpartisan position. And if I recall correctly, you were the government relations person for the Department of Ed. That is generally a partisan position, regardless of who the governor is. And so if you could explain your role relative to or in the partisan context of the question, or nonpartisan, whichever direction it goes, so we have a clear understanding of what your role was there and how you perceive your role as a nonpartisan employee as we move forward, because this is an appointment, if I recall, for 6 years.
Right.
So that's an important question, and Mr. Chairman, I'll have another question a little bit later if after this one.
Okay. Ms. Weber?
Mr. Chair and Representative Carlson, yes, I did. I served as the Government Relations Director at the Minnesota Department of Education 6 years into Governor Pawlenty's term. So prior to me serving as the Government Relations Director, the Government Relations Director was held by two individuals while I was at the department that were more affiliated with the with the governor and the governor's office, and they actually transitioned from the government relations director at the department to the governor's office. So 6 years into the term, I was asked to serve as the government relations director on a one-year basis, not because of a political affiliation, but because of my experience with the agency and testifying before the legislature. I was the program accountability and improvement director, and so I was asked if I would, for a one-term, one legislative session period, serve as the government relations director. And I think part of that may have been influenced by timing as well. The transition of the current government relations director happened in November, and so I think there was a bit, probably a bit of limited amount of time to fill a role that was important to the agency. I did represent the agency as the government relations director for two legislative sessions that I was asked to do that, and then went back to my classified position as the program accountability and improvement director. It was during a controversial time. I talked about this in both of my interviews, my interview with the staff as well as the interview with a group of the subcommittee members. And in particular, it was during the time period when Governor Pawlenty balanced the budget through an allotment. And I was representing the agency, the Department of Education, at that standpoint from the perspective of what actions was the agency taking or what actions was the agency involved in. But I was not selected for that role because of a political affiliation, but it definitely I recognize and also value the importance of this role being solely nonpartisan. So I was completely transparent about that activity that I was involved in during that two-year period. But as I mentioned, it wasn't a political affiliation. It was that I had worked at the department for a number of years. I had a broad understanding of the agency at that time and also had experience working with the legislature. So I believe that those are the reasons I was asked if I would fulfill that role on a temporary basis.
So, Representative Carlson.
If I may, you indicated in your earlier testimony here today that you helped develop positions for the department. Were any of those positions beyond the on-allotment, which of course was highly partisan, but any other activities that would have been perceived when you were in that position as partisan in nature?
Ms. Weber?
Mr. Chair and Representative Carlson, so my experience has varied over the course of my 25 years. So I've worked in individual program areas, so I would develop legislation that was deemed to advance a particular program area, for example, so it wasn't at the direction of the administration within a program area such as child care, so that my early years were involved working in the child care arena. We would develop a proposal for consideration by the administration and then ultimately consideration by the governor's office. If the proposal made its way into an agency policy bill or into a governor's budget recommendation, I would testify before the legislature on those initiatives. In my government relations role at the Department of Education, I worked across the agency, so individual proposals would be developed by individual policy areas, and some of those proposals would come from the policy area, and other proposals might come at the bequest of the commissioner or the bequest of the governor if they had a certain policy initiative that they wanted to advance. I then, as the government relations director, was responsible for presenting the agency's entire policy proposal to the legislature, which might be a combination of both activities that were identified either by stakeholders, but the agency adopted it, or within a programmatic area, or initiatives that the governor's office or commissioner may have been interested in advancing.
Yeah, Mr. Representative. Chairman, I may have a question in a little different direction a little later, but I just wanted to make sure, especially with it being a six-year term, that everybody here, myself included, would be comfortable that you would be playing a nonpartisan role I think that's vitally important. And I assume you didn't have with either MMB or HHS positions that could in any way, shape, or form be perceived as partisan either.
And Ms. Weber?
Mr. Chair and Representative Carlson, I didn't hold positions that were similar to that government relations director position at the Department of Education, but one thing to point out is I have held responsibilities for bringing forward proposals on behalf of those agencies as well under various administrations.
Thank you.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Ms. Weber. I was intrigued by your comments of you being able to lead the implementation on the corrective actions for the OLA report. Is there anything that stands out that you would like to implement in your new, if in this new role that is being proposed here, that you see absolutely necessary to make the LBO successful?
Ms. Weber?
So, Mr. Chair and Senator Rosen, one of the goals, as I understand it, as I've talked with folks through the interview process about one of the things that they would like to see accomplished through this is the timeliness of fiscal notes. And I think there are some things in that legislative report that could help us to improve the timeliness of fiscal notes. One of the pieces that impacts timeliness of fiscal notes is the volume, is just surely the volume. And so there may be things that we can do cooperatively, both with the legislature and the executive branch, to identify what fiscal notes to focus on and to have some advanced notice of that so that we're not operating under the time crunch of a 4 to 6 day window in anticipation of a committee hearing. So those are the types of things that I would like to see if there's anything we can do to work more collaboratively with the fiscal staff and the executive branch to be as prepared as possible when a fiscal note comes in, not just reacting when it does come in and then having to compile the information that's needed.
Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, Ms. Weber, making sure that everybody's on the same plane, understanding the same guidelines as far as what is what can be accountable, what can be expected from this office, is that correct? And then, of course, you have this grace period to maneuver this and get this right. But I think as long as everybody is under the understanding that you can't turn a fiscal note around in a couple days, or we need to start off on the right foot is what I'm trying to say.
Ms. Weber.
Mr. Chair and Senator Rosen, one of the things that is appealing to me in this role is the continued use of the executive branch in terms of providing the data that will inform the ultimate fiscal note that gets developed, because the developing that subject matter expertise at the legislature in a separate office without working in partnership with the executive branch, I think would be challenging. Also, as you mentioned, I see this office having many partners, partners in terms of fiscal analysts working with committees, chairs of committees, as well as the executive branch. And so I think as much as this office can serve in a nonpartisan way and work equally with all of those partners, we'll have a better quality process with respect to fiscal notes.
Senator Laurie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Ms. Weber. When you say working with the chairs, are you talking more in terms of making sure there's a prioritization of the work that you do? I mean, I think that if it is going to be truly nonpartisan, of course, it's not the perspective of the chair. It's the timing and the workload and the management of the committee, correct? I mean, maybe you could speak to that quickly, because that kind of perked my interest as you described that last answer.
Yeah.
A little Ms. Weber.
And Representative Vogel and Senator Laurie, I want to be completely transparent. I don't have the complete solution for this yet. These are some of the things that I've thought about as I've contemplated this position, and in particular hearing from the interview panel about the importance of timeliness, that being a strong driver to the creation of this office. So as I think about that, I think that some of the levers that you have to pull are managing the volume and so being able to work with the chairs and with the fiscal staff on what what proposed bills are fiscal notes being requested for, and then also having an understanding of when bills are anticipated to be up in committee so that you can prioritize within the universe of the fiscal notes that you are have requested.
That's helpful. You know, Senator, I could have a little bit of a related question. One of the things that has that I've struggled with in envisioning how this entity will work is, you know, an executive director and I think six FTEs, you know, across the span of a year, trying to accomplish this work in a discrete office, whereas right now coming out of MMB, which is a much larger enterprise, with the flexibility and the ability to have a lot more hours dedicated to production of fiscal notes during the crunch time of a legislature and then reassign them during other times of the year. I really struggle with trying to envision how it'll work to have this six FTEs, you know, being more timely during that, you know, 2 to 3 month period when fiscal notes are needed, you know, quickly and frequently, and then also keeping them, you know, keeping the six FTEs satisfied and busy with something over the rest of the year. Do you? I mean, maybe you could just. You must have given this some thought as well, and I'd be interested in just how you envision trying to put that together.
Ms. Weber.
Mr. Chair and Senator Lori, I do share the concern that the staffing level might not be sufficient. Having had experience working at MMB and understanding the volume of expertise and individuals that they're able to dedicate to the process, so I do share that. I am very thankful that the first year this office assumes responsibilities as a non-budget year, because I think that will help to give us a sense. In the early phases of the office, because the staff will be new, I think there is the ability to use that off time to gain some expertise in the different policy areas of the state so that they've got a level of understanding when bills come forward and when they're reviewing fiscal notes to determine whether or not they're reasonable and accurate and things of that nature. So I think in the early phases, it would be more time in the off season on educating and training and preparing that team for the work during the legislative session. And then as I talked with some members of the commission, I asked, that was one of the questions I asked, what do people envision for this during the off season, and one of the suggestions by one of the members was looking at the possibility of what do we after legislation is enacted, do we do an analysis of how accurate our fiscal note was to what the actual cost ends up being? So that's a potential for the office as well in the future.
Senator, follow up, or Senator Kiffmeyer.
I thought for the benefit of the rest of the members, when we had our conversation with more time with Ms. Weber, one of the things that Senator Cohn was very good about was bringing up the minority leads and their importance in the role of the legislative process. And without question, that is something to be concerned with. But I think the main thing is we currently have Senate rules in regards to some of those process and procedures that we have, but we also have process and procedures to work with as well on the Legislative Budget Office Oversight Commission, so we'll have a chance to put a stamp on that. But the main thing is to realize that Senator Cohn was very good about bringing some of those concerns I think you might have. And I would say that from the perspective that in the end, the majority has the duty and responsibility to get budget bills through and to move things through, and those have to be priorities in the sphere of getting the work done. And in managing the load for the staff, that has to be a consideration and yet balanced by making sure. And so we had that discussion about having the voice in regards to the minority leads as well.
Maybe, Senator Lori.
I think that maybe I need to kind of clarify what, because it wasn't actually about a voice for the minority that I was trying to get at, to tell you the truth. I do recognize a chair, you know, having been a chair for, you know, for a period and worked really hard and understand how challenging it is. I the chair really does need to work collaboratively with, you know, whoever is putting the fiscal estimates and the fiscal notes together and that is largely the chair, on what the work of the committee is going to be. But one of the answers, that the piece that concerned me was, it sounded like maybe a little bit more broad work with the chair than trying to understand what pieces to work on. And if it bled into more of the content of what would be in the fiscal note, that's when I was getting concerned. So as long as it's, you know, keeping the distance in terms of the perspective of, you know, what it does. And certainly you have to work with the authors of the bills and things like that to understand what their intent is and make sure. And I've always viewed that as an iterative process. You need to collaborate with the members and make sure that you understand what their language is attempting to do. I see that all the time. I get a look at a fiscal note that comes back and I say, wow, I must not have been as clear as I thought I was. That's right. Not actually what I was trying to accomplish. But I view it as a really good opportunity to work my bill over. If a fresh set of eyes sees something different than what I intended, good thing we didn't put that in law. You know, let's use it as an opportunity. So, I mean, you need to do that to understand what the effect is. But regardless of who the majority and the minority is, I think that there does have to be a lot of diligence in making sure that the views of how a proposal will play out in the budget piece of it, aside from what it's intended to accomplish, you know, that you need to get from the author, but how, when you accomplish that, it plays out on the budget spreadsheet. I do worry about working too closely, and there needs to be a line there somewhere where you maintain your independence from the partisan. Because every one of us, regardless of whether there's a D or an R after our name, thinks that all of our ideas are wonderful and should be scored better than they are every single time. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of a truism, that should come through faster as well. So this is a real challenge that you have in front of you, and I appreciate your openness and your willingness to come and talk with us about what we're trying to accomplish.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
I would say that, Senator Laurie, those are sentiments that we had a discussion about, too. So you're not alone in regards that. Working that out, how does that mean? The other thing that I think is exciting about our opportunity for a legislative budget office is the fact that our own Senate fiscal staff do an awful lot of work. And I think they have often been a go-between in regards to communicating, working with. That has been, I found, very helpful, and working through that as well. So I thought sometimes they're not mentioned. They exist. They do very good work. They're very crucial to what we do. So I just wanted to be sure we put that on the record.
As
Since
long as we're
right at me, here, I got it.
Well, we're doing the record. Certainly, we represent or recognize the efforts of the House fiscal staff.
Yeah, that's sure.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, you indicated earlier in your testimony, Ms. Weber, that you have been giving some thought to this position. So I want to explore that a little bit. What are some of your thoughts about working with current fiscal staff, House and Senate, working with MMB and then the state agencies? So if you could comment on how you see the role of yourself and your potential department once the additional people are hired. Just describe what you feel the process would be. Let's say that, yeah. Let's put it this way. I'm the chair of a fiscal committee, and I'm going to hear a bill, and we need to have a fiscal note. So how would you approach your work with current fiscal staff, MMB, and the state agencies?
Ms. Weber?
Mr. Chair and Representative Carlson, so there's certain things that do occur in the technical system when the fiscal note is requested by the fiscal analyst. So they have an opportunity to identify the timeline by which they need the fiscal note. I would envision the Legislative Budget Office looking at the proposed legislation and determining which state agencies are affected and need to provide data to contribute to the compilation of that fiscal note. Those state agencies then would be responsible for providing the data and assumptions and their cost estimates on the legislation, and the Legislative Budget Office would review that information for reasonableness and accuracy and may engage in discussions where both the agency and the fiscal staff are brought into those discussions, particularly if there seems like there's lack of clarity in the proposed legislation or perhaps the fiscal note went in a direction that the fiscal staff at the legislature know is different than the intention of the author. And so I see a very collaborative working relationship between the fiscal staff, the executive branch staff, and the Legislative Budget Office in order to provide the most accurate fiscal note possible.
Representative?
Yeah. I don't think you really mentioned what your relationship with MMB would be. You talked about the state agencies. You know, currently, fiscal note goes to MMB. MMB mm-hmm. then contacts the state agency. The state agency provides the information or develops the fiscal note. MMB reviews it, and then ultimately it comes back here to the legislature. So what role do you see as you put together this new commission? With your work with MMB, what's your interaction going to be there? And then I'll footnote that question with what happens if they do a fiscal note and we now have two fiscal notes before us. How do you see mm-hmm. that being resolved? But if you can take the first part of that question first, what's your relationship with MMB going to be?
Ms. Weber?
Mr. Chair and Representative Carlson, I think the first task, if I were to be appointed to this position, would be to work with Mr. Nauman, Mr. Marks, and Ms. Raytan on what does this transition year look like? So what first is our relationship, and does this look like during the next legislative session, which was intended to be a transition year, and then develop recommendations for consideration by this commission about what the relationship and policies and practices would be as we move into September of 2019 when the office assumes full responsibility. I personally feel very strongly in the need for the data and the initial review and analysis of the legislation to be conducted by the state agencies that are going to be responsible for the ultimate implementation and have the subject matter expertise. I think the relationship with MMB is something for us to define. And I would see the four of us coming together very early on and me being in this position to talk about what do we think. They've had a couple years experience as this legislation was enacted that I haven't had with, you know, in terms of working with them. And so I would be interested in learning from them how they've envisioned this working and some of the discussions that may have happened. And then ultimately coming to this commission to present a recommendation for how we would all work together.
Representative?
So, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you would work with MMB short-term at least, is what it sounded like to me, but not necessarily long-term?
Ms. Weber?
Mr. Chair and Representative Carlson, I would see one of my main responsibilities to avoid as much as possible us having two different sets of numbers. And so in the role of the legislative budget office director, I would want to work collaboratively with the executive branch and fiscal staff ongoing if we are going down a path of producing two different sets of numbers. I think the starting point for that would be a difference between what a state agency indicated their assumptions are and their data is, and the Legislative Budget Office as they reviewed it. There might be a determination that there's an assumption that's unreasonable or there's a flaw in the accuracy of the information. And so I would want us to understand why we have that difference And I think that MMB would serve a key role between the state agencies and the Legislative Budget Office, because MMB will ultimately be tracking the executive branch's position. So as we go forward throughout the course of the legislative session, there will be House tracking, Senate tracking, and then the executive branch's tracking, all of which are dependent on information from the Legislative Budget Office. And if there are differences in their tracking, it is because there is some sort of disagreement between whether it's assumptions or underlying data. And I think we collectively, the Legislative Budget Office, House, fiscal staff, Senate staff, and MMB would need to collectively understand why we have that difference.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Representative.
Ms. Weber just kind of preempted where I was headed next, because that's why I was trying to explore this, how that tracking would take place, because ultimately MMB's role hasn't changed other than with the fiscal note in terms of the overall tracking, as you say, of the budget. So I'll stop there, Mr. Chairman. Apparently a lot of this is yet to be sorted out. One question, Mr. Chairman.
Representative.
I've been dealing with fiscal notes for a long time. I think it was in the late 70s, early 80s when I first chaired a fiscal committee, and then I've done it on again, off again, depending whether you're in the majority or minority. Timing was something that was an issue. I never really had a lot of quarrels with the fiscal notes themselves. There were a couple that kind of like what Senator Laurie is referring to, when I would get a call and we'd have a discussion of what my real intent was. Very seldom did we ever send a note back to be reconsidered, although it did happen in my tenure, I guess. The timing was the issue. When I chaired the House Finance Committee and Lauren Solberg chaired Ways and Means, we met together with some of the players at MMB and so on to see what we could do about the turnaround time. It wasn't, in my view, the content of the fiscal notes. It was the turnaround time when we were at crunch time. When I was reporting out of the Finance Committee, or later when I chaired Ways and Means, reporting the bills out to the House floor, the need for a fiscal note. And some state agencies are more complicated than some others. Senator Laurie chaired a committee that's one of the more complicated ones. What I used to do was put that bill toward the end of the agenda when it would be reported out of the vision to give more time. But then eventually it hit crunch time. And so I don't know whether you've got any ideas on solving that problem or not. I've been convinced it's a resource question. You're going to have six people. You said that it might be initially in your earlier testimony be understaffed. But that would be the one improvement area that I would like to see, and I'm not sure that we know really whether that's going to be solved as we sit here today and begin to move down this road. But thank you.
Okay. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm not going to extend this too much farther, but I've been thinking about some of the issues that have been brought up around this table, and I believe that the FTEs that Senator Laurie said is absolutely something we need to look at. Representative Carlson's quote of crunch time and making this work with all the different agencies and those involved. I went through the bill and looked at the responsibilities of the Legislative Budget Office Oversight Commission. And I believe there's a role for us in this too, because we have some issues that are critical coming up next year that need attention immediately. And as usual, we try to solve these big issues such as provider tax. We have tax conformity, and we have the DWRS issue on sometimes shooting from the hip on a very short time frame, which puts a heavy load on those fiscal notes, getting them out correctly, and all these different ideas. I'm just shooting from the hip myself right now, but I think if this commission facilitated the chairs and the minority chairs, perhaps at the end of session, to think forward about what does need work ongoing, such as provider tax. That's the big one in this room, and we have to have a solution on that, and we have to look at all issues, and we have to get it passed. So that is something I think maybe we can explore a little bit more to fulfill that gap between downtime and look at some of the priorities that are coming out of these chairs and the minority mm-hmm. chairs for the next session. Just a thought.
Yeah. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Mr. Chair, do we have any other questions at this time?
Not sure. Do we have other questions at this time? Any other members? I don't believe so.
I just didn't want to get in the way of somebody okay. else who did. So one of the things that I thought of, even today, no matter what happens, we have disagreements between MMB and their fiscal notes and the legislature. If we think that somehow magically when we have an LBO, no, there's still going to be. But I think by statute we have laid out that the fiscal note comes out when the time comes that they are. That is the official fiscal note. And as usual, whether it's executive or legislative branch, we're going to have a big discussion about it when that time comes. That is not going to really change, but I think we have that. One of the things I appreciate about Ms. Weber, though, is the fact that she has both the executive branch experience, but in that, sometimes people have nothing but executive, and they've worked only within that. But because she's also had some legislative in doing that, I see that as a plus, particularly with the actual fiscal note process. That is something unusual and I think is going to be very helpful. But I was just going to mention that in the legislation, we worked hard to anticipate that, and so we put in here that the commissioner of MMB shall provide orientation and training to the director of the LBO and any staff designated by the director to get that connection there. And the commissioner of MMB must provide opportunities to the director and any staff designated to learn from MMB on fiscal note requests during the 2019 regular legislative session. And we felt that was really, really important to officially put in here, and it was supported by the governor's office and MMB and us as well, to make it real clear so that we would have that kind of time. So, Representative Carlson, I hope that that will be helpful in understanding the importance of that, but it also made it into legislation to just help be sure that there was a clear understanding from the very beginning.
Any other questions? Well, seeing none, we could entertain a motion if there are no further questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's why I'd asked the question before it. I just wanted to be sure that in any way, shape, or form, everybody was good to go. Thank you very much to Mr. Hubinger, who thought ahead and gave us some language to help us in making this motion. So I'll just read it. I move that the commission appoint Michelle Weber as the director of the Legislative Budget Office for a term of 6 years as provided under Minnesota Statute 3.8853, Subdivision 2, with the salary and start date to be reviewed and approved by the chair and vice chairs previously agreed to.
Motion has been made. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I guess we have a director, folks. Good for us. There really isn't anything else on the agenda. I think that Mr. Hubinger will make arrangements as noted in the minutes and can find some temporary space. I would suggest that our next meeting will start to deal with the other things that we are responsible for, which a lot of it did come up today because in legislation it says that this is necessary for us to approve the standards and procedures. So that will be in front of us as well as any other business. So unless somebody has anything else, we will start down the road of getting Ms. Weber going and then call a meeting when it seems appropriate relative to those other things that we're responsible for. With that, Chair would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.